Good evening. You're listening to On Blast with the Philadelphia Student Union on WPEB 88.1 FM. I'm Azeem Hill, and I'm a senior at West Philadelphia High School.
And I'm Lawrence, an alumnus of the Philadelphia Student Union. The Student Union is a youth-led organization working to build student leadership and create an education system that serves to liberate young people.
We believe that media is a powerful organizing tool, and we're using radio to help young people make their voices heard.
We broadcast live every Wednesday from 6 to 7 on WPEB 88.1 FM in West Philadelphia, but you can also get the show and individual segments from our podcast page at www.onblast.podomatic.com.
Today, we'll hear about how the Alliance for Educational Justice, AEJ, is planning to stop the school-to-prison pipeline.
We'll also hear about a segment about a Denver organization's successes with changing the school discipline policies. And we'll hear about modern-day slavery in Florida.
Plus, we'll hear some interviews from people in West Philadelphia.
Stay tuned for more On Blast after this short break.
PSU is part of the Alliance for Educational Justice, or AEJ. AEJ currently has a campaign to end zero tolerance policies and to stop the school-to-prison pipeline. We're about to hear a segment about it. This was produced by Mira Williams and Daniel Jones.
PSU has been working as a part of a national coalition called AEJ, Alliance for Educational Justice. AJ's main campaign is currently around ending the school-to-prison pipeline. We sat down with organizer Mustafa Sullivan to talk about this issue.
Yes, so the school-to-prison pipeline is a term for a set of policies that have happened for years and years and years in our schools that allows more police to enter into our schools, that allows school safety agents to harass and aggressively treat students and criminalize them, meaning to treat them like criminals. And it's also a set of zero tolerance policies that specifically crack down on minor offenses and basically put young people in a position where they're treated like criminals and they're not treated like young people who have a successful future and deserve a successful career. You know, about 80% of the police officers and the safety agents are actually from the prison system. And that's not the type of environment you want to create in a school. You want to create a better educational system. So that means you have to make sure that zero tolerance policies are not supported. So rather than thinking of those young people in gangs as young people who need social and emotional support, that have serious traumatic issues and tragedies that have happened in their lives, and provide them with the social and emotional support that they need, they decided to treat them as criminals, right? So they started to do things like try young people as adults, right? They started to do things like actually create more harsher discipline policies inside of schools. They decided to put police in the schools. So rather than actually create an atmosphere where the community can work together to solve the problems, they decided to create a system where young people are just consistently punished for minor offenses. You know, if there's any criminals, if there's any problems inside of schools, let's over-police them. Let's put, you know, a whole bunch of policies that really punish them rather than teach them what's right and what's wrong, right?
We asked Mr. Sullivan to explain what AEJ would like to see as an alternative to zero tolerance policy.
What we're trying to push in the Alliance for Educational Justice is that we're, you know, a set of community organizations, 20 different community organizations across the country that have created restorative justice programs that restore the ability for young people to succeed. So that means you provide them with mentoring. That means when there's conflicts in the school that you provide real conflict mediation. So that way young people are being trained to actually deal with conflicts in a productive and proactive manner and create an atmosphere where the community is going to support them and help them to develop as productive citizens. I think that is the solution.
AEJ recently had an event in Washington, D.C. The purpose of the event was to gather different organizations across the U.S. to speak out against the school-to-prison pipeline. Students from the Baltimore Algebra Project spoke about one example of the punishment mentality in their city.
How y'all feeling? Y'all ready to end the school to prison pipeline?
Yeah!
Yeah! All right, so in Baltimore, at the moment, they're building a youth prison that's gonna cost $104 million. So right now, we're saying convert that money, the money that's going to prisons and to youth jobs.
PSU student Shania Morris spoke.
I'm ecstatic to be here with like hundreds of students that are standing for the exact same thing that I'm standing for, a proper education. We're doing this because as of now in our schools, we have more security guards than counselors. We don't have enough textbooks, we don't have enough computers, and we don't have enough books in our libraries. We don't have enough of the basic resources we need in our schools to be properly educated. The teachers are not qualified, and zero tolerance policies are forcing students into disciplinary schools and the prison system. On top of that, we are taught to take tests, not to become the leaders that we are. All of these things are violent because they hurt our chances of survival. So we stand here as one today, fighting for not only our education, but our lives.
AJ is planning to take advantage of the upcoming No Child Left Behind reauthorization to demand policy changes to dismantle the school to prison pipeline.
I know I could be what I want to be. If they educate me. I went to school to educate my mind, but I got schooled over by no child left behind, no critical thinking and all the tests. If they're training me to pass them, standardized tests, they're supposed to prepare me to be a leader. I don't want to grow up to be a Walmart greeter. I know I could. Be what I want to be. I know I would. If they educate me. One more time, I know I could.
Stay tuned for more on Blast after this song.
When there's nothing
If you're just joining us, this is On Blast with the Philadelphia Student Union on WPEB 88.1 FM. You can listen to the show online, including past shows, by going to our podcast at www.onblast.podomatic.com.
One AEJ organization that has had major victories in ending the school-to-prison pipeline is Denver-based Padres y Juvenes Unidos. This group managed to get district-wide discipline policies changed and improved. Part of this has been through the implementation of restorative practices at a number of Denver public schools. Dan Jones sat down with two of the organization's leaders. Here's what they had to say.
For well over a decade now, school districts all over the country have been adopting and enforcing so-called zero-tolerance policies. These policies claim to create a safer school environment by doling out harsh punishments to students for even a first violent offense. The idea of zero-tolerance can feel really appealing to parents, teachers, and community members tired of all the news of violence in public schools. However, the reality of what happens to students under zero tolerance is far from the visions of newly safe schools that such policies often conjure for parents and policymakers.
So before, when we were fighting to change the policy, before that, every school had their own kind of ladder and escalation for certain incidents in the school. And it wasn't equal, so the punishment didn't match the severity of the offense. And if you were black or brown, you were more likely to be pushed out. And we were able to show that in our data.
In Denver, Colorado, Padres y Jóvenes Unidos, an intergenerational grassroots organizing group, has managed to create a fundamental transformation in the culture and policy of discipline in their school district. A major part of this transformation has been the adoption of restorative practices.
Yeah, restorative justice is an alternative to suspensions, expulsions, or tickets. It's an opportunity for the student or administrator and student or teacher and student, anyone in the school, to have the opportunity to fix the problem, find a solution to any issue that arises. You know, it gives the opportunity to repair the harm and from there move forward without the consequence of suspension or loss of school time.
That was Lalo Montoya, a youth organizer with Padres y Jóvenes Unidos. I spoke with him and Denver student Brandon Garcia about the campaign. Brandon speaks about his experience with restorative practices.
When I was a freshman, it barely was being used at North. And they gave me the option of restorative justice, and it helped me a lot because they were going to suspend me for a fight for a whole week. And that would have been a whole week of me just missing school and not doing anything, and just my grades would have gone down. And so the option of restorative justice was just to sit down with the other person that was in the incident and talk about it and just make sure that everything was all right and that there was not going to be any future problems or anything.
I asked Lalo about the beginnings of the campaign.
It started at Cole Middle School. And Cole Middle School is one of the worst performing middle schools academically in the state of Colorado. And when we were working there, fighting for reform to improve the school with the parents, black and Mexicano parents, we came across the program Restorative of Justice, and then we fought for it to find funding for it here in Denver, specifically for Cole Middle School. And then in just 1 year of implementation of the Restorative of Justice program, there was a 67% drop in tickets to law enforcement in the school. And we're talking about middle school here. And just in 1 year, we saw that 70% drop.
After the success at Cole Middle School, Padres y Jóvenes Unidos helped obtain a 3-year grant for 17 schools to open their own restorative practice programs. Lalo explained to me that even after the grant ran out, many of these schools kept the programs as a part of their budget because they had become such a valuable part of the school's operations.
And that was the start of this campaign to end the school to jail track over at Cole Middle School, and looking at the positive effects of having restorative justice in the school culture. And it then evolved into changing all the zero-tolerance policies, which took 7 years to make it happen, to pressure the district to enter negotiations. And in negotiations, it took 3 years of negotiations and getting rid of zero-tolerance policies here in Denver public schools. because we passed a new discipline policy that got rid of zero tolerance policies and really focuses on keeping students in school and learning, we've been able to make it so that students have certain rights.
Brandon talks about what some of those rights are.
Before a student is suspended, the school has to talk to them about the incident, and they have to sit down. They have to sit down the two people that were involved in the incident, or their teacher and student, or whoever was involved, and they tell you what your charges are. And then the students also have a right to call their parents or guardian and tell their side of the story, present evidence or a witness, people that were around while the incident happened. And before you're suspended, the school has to offer you a restorative justice. So that way that instead of getting suspended or expelled, you can fix the problem and stay in school.
By following the new policy, you can end the school to jail track that way as well. Because the policy is very explicit as to what can be referred to law enforcement and what incidents should not be referred to law enforcement. And then it also says, what is a suspensionable offense and what is not.
So that way you won't get suspended for minor things. Like, school officials used to think that a little push and shove was an assault. So they would automatically suspend you and give you a ticket. Well, they can't do that no more. You can't be suspended for minor things unless it's continually repeated. And even if you are suspended, it can't be longer for more than 3 days. And you can't be expelled or ticketed unless you commit a serious offense or are continually disruptive.
Since the new policy was put in place, police tickets to students have gone down by 50%, and out-of-school suspensions have gone down by 40%. However, according to Lalo and Brandon, the policy has been on the books for 2 years, but still has not been fully implemented. And many students, teachers, and parents don't know about the new rules.
Because it's one thing to win a campaign, the other thing is to actually make the change happen. So the youth that I've been working with, they decided to do a Know Your Rights campaign by doing school-wide assemblies. And the hope is that the more students know about their rights, the more pressure the schools will have and the district to fully implement the policy. We're going to go to every high school here in Denver and do these Know Your Rights presentations at school-wide assemblies. And at the school-wide assemblies, we actually talk about institutional racism and what the school-to-jail track is. We want to educate more than 50% of students and teachers. I mean, we'll do that within the next 3 months of when school starts again. Yeah, and we're changing the culture. We're changing it from being punitive to having a learning environment that's going to prepare us for college. And that's been our call all along, that our schools get rid of that punitive, violent culture and start, respecting and treating everyone with dignity. And we're seeing that, but we're pushing to see it at a wider scale right now.
One example of the change in school culture that these policies can bring about is the fact that more than 50% of the cases brought to restorative practices have been preventative, meaning that rather than just punishing students after the fact, the policy prevents violent incidents from even happening in the first place. Looking forward, Padres y Jóvenes Unidos plans to continue to educate students about their rights and is building towards a statewide convening of young people from other districts seeking a similar transformation in their discipline policies. As Student Union continues to build our campaign for nonviolent schools, we look towards other organizations all across the country like Padres y Jóvenes Unidos that are fighting for and winning a school system that respects young people and helps us to become the nonviolent leaders that we all deserve to be. This has been Dan Jones for On Blast Radio with the Philadelphia Student Union.
You're listening to On Blast Radio with the Philadelphia Student Union on WPEB 88.1 FM, Philadelphia.
We want to let all our listeners know about the Youth Summit that will be happening this fall. The Campaign for Nonviolent Schools is hosting Youth Power, Building a Youth Movement for Nonviolent Schools, on Tuesday, November 9th. This event will be a space for over 200 high school students from across Philly and Southeast PA to come together and talk about how to create the kind of nonviolent schools that we want to see in our neighborhoods. Please mark November 9th on your calendar, and stay tuned to our website, www.phillystudentunion.org, for more info about how to register, and that's coming soon.
We'll be back with more right after this song.
Do it now.
Shakoya Patterson visited the Coalition of Immokalee Workers Modern Day Slavery Museum when it came to Philadelphia earlier this month. She interviewed farm workers who spoke about the recent cases of farm worker slavery that have surfaced in Florida and elsewhere. CIW members also spoke about the everyday conditions that farm workers face and explained how the CIW is organizing to end all forms of worker mistreatment.
Thick chain, long chain. It's the kind of chain that you use to tow a truck with. And this is what the boss used to chain that worker to make sure that he wouldn't run away because he wanted to make sure that he'd pick tomatoes for him.
That was Julia Perkins from the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, or CIW, explaining a case of modern-day slavery that occurred a couple of years ago in Florida.
So they were actually padlocked in with a padlock, just like this one, on the back of the truck. So it wasn't just shut. They're actually locked in like animals. They were treated like much less than human beings just because they owed their bosses money. And they owed their bosses money for things like rent, to sleep in trucks like this or vans or shacks. They owed them money, $5 for every time they wanted to rinse off with a garden hose in the backyard. They were charged for food from the family, who could charge them whatever they wanted.
The CIW is currently traveling the country and exhibiting their modern-day slavery museum to raise awareness about the cases where farm workers have been enslaved. I recently visited the CIW's museum when it came to Philadelphia and interviewed a farmer named Oscar. Miguel Andrade gave an English translation.
Bueno. Mi nombre es Oscar Rotzoy y soy miembro de la Coalición de Trabajadores de Immokalee. Bueno, y como está aquí, narra la historia.
Right now, the museum narrates the story from slavery from past times to slavery right now in current times. And it's showcasing some of the cases that have come into the light, come into public eye in the recent years, and let people know what's going on right now. One of the main goals we want to get out of touring with the Mobile Museum is for people to understand the conditions that their farm workers are going through and where their produce is coming from that is being distributed all over the country in big supermarkets.
I also talked to another farm worker named Ramiro Ramirez, and Julia Perkins translated. I asked him what were the conditions that the workers faced on the fields.
Y cuando vas a piscar tomate, agarras una cubeta que contiene, que le acabe 32 libras de tomate, y esa cubeta la tienes que...
And if you work in the fields, you're also not paid any health insurance or any benefits from the company. So if you get sick, when you're working, you have to pay out of your own pocket. The company doesn't take any responsibility for your health or welfare in the fields. And so when you do start picking, for every 32-pound bucket of tomatoes, when it's full of tomatoes, it weighs 32 pounds, you pick, you're paid 45 cents. If you work more than 40 hours a week, you're only paid for the buckets of tomatoes that you pick and not for overtime.
Lo que nosotros hemos visto es de que hoy
so
en
what
día,
we've seen is that there are companies that benefit from
este
our
caso,
poverty.
For
example, the supermarket
este
chains, the big supermarkets up here in the Northeast, Giant or Stop and Shop, that belong to Ahold, which is an even bigger company. They can demand low prices for the tomatoes that they buy, but they do so at our expense because due to those low prices that they're paying for tomatoes, our wages are kept low. It's time for there to be a change, and that these supermarket companies can participate in fair food agreements in which they can guarantee that the tomatoes that they're using are picked by workers being paid a fair wage and treated well, if like other corporations have done. We now have 8 corporations in the fast food world and food service providers who are working with us, but none of the big supermarkets have come to the table yet.
So what we want people to know is that us as farm workers, we're in this fight for our fair rights, but we also want the consumer to join us. We want our voices to be united so that we can create one voice fighting for justice. We're not seeking compassion. We're not seeking sympathy. What we're looking for is comprehension. We want people to understand the issues that are going on.
According to the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, though the extent of slavery in Florida agriculture has diminished over the centuries, one thing has remained constant. Farm workers have always been and remain today the state's poorest, least powerful workers. If we are to abolish slavery once and for all in Florida agriculture, we must pull it from the roots by addressing farm worker poverty and powerlessness. And for more information, you can visit the Coalition of Immokalee Workers website at ciw.online.org/museum. I'm Shakoya from On Blast with the Philadelphia Student Union.
PSU is expanding the campaign for nonviolent schools to other districts in Pennsylvania. We are always looking for new ways to reach more students, parents, and community members and include them in the movement for safe, equitable schools. If you would like to be a part of the campaign for nonviolent schools, or if you have a suggestion for a school or a community group that we should work with, please email us at onblast@phillystudentunion.org.
We'll be back with more right after this song. PSU's annual Summer Youth Leadership Program, BAM, Building a Youth Movement, includes a media training component. Some of the students who are learning about how to do radio work went out and interviewed people on the street. There were two groups of students, and each of which made their own segment. The first story we'll hear was produced by Justin Williams, Greg Jordan Dedamore, and Amira Williams. They asked Philadelphians their opinions on school uniforms.
We're doing a piece on uniforms and whether you agree with uniforms in public schools. Can you tell me what you think about them?
I'm actually for it. You know, I could go either way.
Yeah, I don't really agree with it.
I actually really liked it. I like wearing uniforms.
Well, I guess I disagree.
I agree that everybody should be unified in school.
I actually disagree with uniforms.
I just don't understand why everyone's got to look the same.
Absolutely. I think uniforms should be worn in public schools because it identifies the people, and then people have the same thing, so no one has more expensive clothes than the other person.
It ends the, I don't have my favorite thing to wear in the morning, and the issue of I have to shop in this store, which is much more expensive than mom wants to pay for.
Clothing is like a really great way for people to express themselves. I don't find any harm in people wearing what they want.
That's how people can express their individuality.
I think it's a good thing as it kind of means that everyone looks the same, so they can't really be treated any differently for how they dress and stuff because everyone's wearing the same outfit.
And it was really convenient because you never had to pay attention to what you wanted to wear in the morning and you could just like throw it on.
No, I understand, you know, you try and keep things formal and whatnot, but I don't necessarily think that you have to like make people wear a certain thing, like maybe just like collared shirt would be tight, but you know, why has everyone got to wear a white one with like a logo on it, you know what I mean?
Well, in my school we don't have uniforms and I wouldn't say there's any negative. It's kind of nice to be able to dress how you want, how you're comfortable.
But it didn't bother me, at least on the guys anyway. I think it might be different for the girls, you know, but for the guys it just kind of, you know, neat but very comfortable, so it wasn't an issue.
I mean, people are unfortunate, don't have the same amount of income, and you know, kids are going around teasing each other.
It ends a lot of fighting, and we all need less fighting in the world, don't we?
It made it easier for me to concentrate on work and school and not worrying about what I had to wear in the morning.
I think it's hard enough to be in school without having to having everyone wear the same thing all the time. I think it limits personal expression.
I mean, the kids fuss about it. The kids don't like it. Oh, you stifled my creativity and all that.
I guess having a uniform, I think, is lame. So I think as a student, you should be able to wear what you want, you know, have the freedom to do what you want, because as young adults, you have certain things that you should do. And it's just, you know.
I think they should wear uniform in school because it's make like a discipline the boys. It's more easier for the parents.
Jayden, do you like uniforms?
Yeah.
I did not go to a school with uniforms, but in looking at it later, I think it would have made things easier and less stressful not having to worry about fitting in or fashion or that kind of thing. So I'm also.
Have dress code?
I think there should be like a certain dress code, but not necessarily a uniform.
Now we'll hear the second piece that was produced during BAM. This piece was produced by Karina Flaherty, Dan Jones, and Tatiana Griffin, who asked people what they think is the biggest problem in the Philadelphia public schools.
All right, so what do you think is the biggest problem in Philadelphia public schools?
I think Philadelphia public schools probably would benefit from a lot more funding.
The lack of accountability, the teachers.
One of the areas of concern that I have is about teacher qualifications.
The homework.
I feel like resources are a bit scarce and the schools could do so much more for the kids and are very well-intentioned and want to offer a lot of services and resources and opportunities to the youth of Philadelphia. However, I think they're really lacking the funds to do so at this time.
There's obviously a lot of great teachers, but then there's some that really don't care if their kids show up to class or whether or not the kids are even progressing. So as long as you know the teachers are getting their test scores up. So that's what I would say. because obviously you can blame the students, but I think the teachers are the ones that should have, you know, a good amount of responsibility.
And perhaps that the teachers either haven't had enough experience, or I don't know if it's that they've grown apathetic to their jobs or whatever, but that there seems to be a lag in their capacity or maybe even their willingness to do their jobs well.
It's kind of tough, and I think they should stop giving homework, because most kids don't like homework, and they should just make, if they were still giving homework, they should just make it a lot easier.
Public schools? I don't know, I didn't go to one, so...
The two stories we just heard were the first pieces that some of our new members made. You can look forward to more stories from the producers throughout the school year.
Let's have a short music break. Be right back.
Listen, I got a passion for spitting, smashing the competition. Vocals, the logo for the back-to-back world champion. Pistons undebatable, flesh is biodegradable. People ego deflatable, see no evil and play the role. I'm Peter Gabriel with a sledgehammer. Blood standards, red-handed, set standards, dedicated to Dilla Proof. Abel Miracle, Fannie Lou Hamer, Marlon Riggs, Nina, and Fred Hampton. Yeah. There goes the neighborhood like Fred Sanford next door to Ned Flanders. These cats pop off at the mouth like over Redenbacher. My lyrics open up the border, see your seven chakras, helicopter circling. Watch the exchange of Betty Crocker. Soap operas and Benton drama. Prevent it, remember not for smash. Various, various, various on the roadblocks. You don't get it, you do you. The struggle don't stop and don't quit. Worldwide winning with solid globetrotters. Don't try to sit home if you stuck in time. A broke watch, smash. The walls of hate ended for the next ascendance. Watching them fall from grace. Repping for the independence. Futuristic sound. You just missed it now. Present with the essence. Who we ball, but it all is fake. Yeah.
You don't pay attention.
While your power is the size of your attention span. Dilla said it best.
You don't pay attention, man.
That's why your respect's the size of your attention span. It's fresh air when I'm speaking to y'all. Sometimes it falls upon deaf ears like I'm speaking to walls. I ain't preaching to y'all. Breaking cycles of violence, not repeating they flaws. Open up your memory bank. I got the key to the vault. Serving the antidote to Alzheimer's. Deleting and stall. Deep over low, but think it over. We the leaders we've all been waiting for. Believe it, heed the call. Breathe it, keeping involved. These lyrics, he seekers deplete. Tweet us till the speakers dissolve. Each generation must find its mission. Fulfill it, betray it. I know that ours is more than just being killers or players. And making millions of papers. Our blood is spilling the haters. Too much injustice among us. Is it still a complacent? Yeah. Smash the walls of hate. End it for the next ascendance. Watching them fall from grace. Repping for the independence. Futuristic sound. You just missed it now. Present with the essence. Who we ball, but it all is fake. Yeah.
You don't pay attention, man.
That's why your power is the size of your attention span. Dilla said it best.
You don't pay attention, man.
That's why your respect's the size of your attention span. Smash the walls of hate. End it for the next ascendance. Watching them fall from grace. Repping for the independence. Futuristic sound. You just missed it now. Present with the essence. Who we ball, but it all is fake. Yeah.
You don't pay attention, man.
That's why your power is the size of your attention span. Dilla said it best.
You don't pay attention, man.
That's why your respect's the size of your attention span.
Wanting people to listen, you can't just tap them on the shoulder anymore. You have to hit them with a sledgehammer. And then you'll notice you've got their strict attention.
Give me the green light. Give me just one night. I'm ready to go right now. I'm ready to go right now.
I'm checking your smile, working your back like it's going out of style. Shake just a little bit faster, shake just a little now, girl. I'm dying to meet you, so let's mess around. Got an obsession with us getting down. Come just a little bit closer, I just need permission, so
give me the green light.
Go right now.
We could go all
technically no. If you be my girlfriend, then I'll make it so. You be my only true lover. No competition, no other. Maybe it's just the thrill of the chase, but I've got a feeling I'm winning this race. Baby, I'm getting much closer. I just need permission, so
give me the green light. Let's blow this lame nigga factory. She said, what kind of girl do you think that I are? The kind that you meet in a bar. You think you can get whatever you want, cause you some kind of star. No, I'm a comment, I just want you, woman. Hey, if I were you, it would be me that I go home with. Three, the one and only. One thing you ain't considered. I heard you when you told your girl, ooh, we can get it. Admit it, you did it. Let's hop a cab and split it. I'm kidding, we both going to where you living. I got you giggling like a piglet. Oh, that's the ticket. I hope you're more like Anita Baker than Robin Givens. No, I don't know that lady, so let me quit it. I'm just style freeing, freestyling, which I seldom do. This is what I'm telling you. To the bed, I'm telling you. Like I've been in jail for 2 years and then they let me in. You got you one legend. Sometimes you gotta step from behind that piano. Let them know what's going on.
Thanks for tuning in to On Blast with the Philadelphia Student Union. In addition to our radio show, we are also doing ongoing campaigns to improve our schools, monthly open mics, men and women support groups, academic support, political education, and lots of other youth-led activities.
PSU will be having weekly Saturday meetings from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. at our office at 4205 Chestnut Street. Food and transportation will be provided.
If you want more information about the Philadelphia Student Union, check out our website at www.phillystudentunion.org. You should also find us on Facebook. And send your comments and questions about the show to onblast@phillystudentunion.org. We'd love to hear from you.
Tune in next week, Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m., for the next edition of On Blast with the Philadelphia Student Union. You can also listen to the show online by going to our podcast at onblast.podomatic.com. See you next time.